Nation Radio with Alan Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide. Presented by Edmonton Motors.
Only on Edmonton Sports Radio.
Team 1260.
High noon and welcome to Nation Radio, Saturday edition. Oilers stories of yesterday, today and tomorrow, and major hockey news around the world. Brought to you by Edmonton Motors. I'm Alan Mitchell, Low Tide, and Mark Mageau, the producer today. How are you, sir?
I am fantastic. Alan, how are you?
I'm very well. You this must be a great time of year for you. The Yankees are in first place. Your NFL... Are you a Giants fan or a Jets fan?
Jets fan. Jets fan.
All I see on the NFL Network, I don't even watch it right now, as an Eagles fan, all I see is, well, Tebow's looking good in the short yardage situations. You know, what can you tell from, you know, scrimmages about Tim Tebow?
There's been so many non-stories coming from Jets camp in the last week. It's just absolutely ridiculous. Even the president was taking shots at the
Obama was in. I'm a little nervous about the quarterback situation. And what about the island guy, the cornerback? Is he in camp or is he mad about his contract?
No, Darrell Revis showed up. His three holdouts in 4 years would probably be a bad idea. So he decided to show up to camp. He's a little dinged up right now, but he is there.
Okay, before I get onto the hockey thing, I just want this cleared up. Sanchez is the starter and Tebow is the distraction.
Yes. Okay. Yes, very clear.
Appreciate that. Your questions always welcome. Please email questions to nationradio at team1260.com or Twitter at It's Nation Radio or Lowtide _. I also grab questions from the comments below on both Oilers Nation and Lowtide during the show. So if you want to throw them there, we'll touch base on them as well. Today's guests include Jason Greger from the Jason Greger Show right here on Team 1260 and Oilers Nation. We'll talk Oilers and their summer. Are they done? What they should do for the rest of the summer and the importance of guys named Ryan and Taylor on the roster. Eric Tulski is a guy we had on a couple of weeks ago and had lots of emails and questions about him, so we're going to bring him back. Eric is a really smart guy, way smarter than I, so he'll dumb it down for me. It's from Broad Street Hockey and NHL Numbers. We'll be talking about the importance of performance in the neutral zone and the relationship to neutral zone possession, gaining possession in the offensive zone, and what that means to the offensive situations. We talked a little bit about it last time. We'll endeavor to go farther this time around. Thomas Drance from Canucks Army will be here. Still some business to do in Vancouver as well. I would think that Arnott has been under discussion. Doan is still out there. Luongo trade, and we'll discuss the Northwest Division as well. And in hour number two, we'll go to Oklahoma City and talk to Jim Byers. The Barons roster looks pretty set based on the signings and deals that have happened throughout the summer. We'll talk to Jim about that and some of the new guys coming in, including Brandon Davidson, former Regina Pat, and Martin Marincin as well. Corey Graham, Oil Kings play-by-play guy. He loves hockey so much, he's counting down to the Oil Kings training camp. We'll get up to him. Keith Flaming had an interview with Kevin Prendergast talking about Curtis Lazar a few minutes ago and about how good he is. We'll talk to Corey about Lazar and more Oil Kings as well. And Scott Francis Winder before, too, young Edmonton businessman. We'll talk to him about FC Edmonton, the game tonight, some of the events that FC has this week. And if we have time, we'll talk about the arena situation as well. So there you go. 3 minutes after 12 and just ahead of Jason Greger. Taylor Hall tweeted this morning, "It feels great to be back on the ice almost 4 months to the day after surgery." So he's making his way back, and a big part of the Edmonton Oilers for next year, not just Justin Schultz, not just Nail Yakupov, the new incumbents, Taylor Hall, Taylor Fadun, Ryan Whitney, those stories are major too. So it's good to hear that Hall's back on the ice. The Oilers didn't make a lot of news this week, and that's news. Although the club hasn't made a big trade this summer, they did sign Ryan Smith, Schultz, as we mentioned, draft, and then signed Yakupov. Ralph Kruger was hired, and then the RFAs were a story too. That's Gagne, Dubnyk, and Petrie specifically. So the Oilers have kind of been in the news every week since the beginning of summer. Not so much this time around, but there are things that could still happen. Possibly a top four defenseman incoming, and the goaltending situation remains a question for some, and maybe the Oilers will be addressing that before the training camp begins. I think the team may be waiting for more free agents to come off the board before making a deal to add a top four defenseman. Also, we have to keep in mind the CBA negotiations and cap uncertainty for 12-13 may also be a major factor in that process. It could happen where once you find out what the cap is, some of these teams that are close to the cap may have to offload, and there may be a defenseman available to Edmonton during that period of time. So we'll discuss that with Jason and our other guests as well today. There are some things we can talk about today, including the injured players and the processes that they're going through. Jason talked to Taylor Fadun earlier in the week. We'll discuss that, and of course Taylor Hall. And the Oklahoma City Barons roster looks like it's close to completion with all the signings, and Jim Byers will chime in on that. So, very busy afternoon. Thank you so much for joining us. Hope you're enjoying your day. Beautiful long weekend in Edmonton and Alberta. And at 12:05, we are joined by Jason Greger from the Jason Greger Show in Oilers Nation. How are you, sir?
LT, I'm good.
Good. You enjoying a nice Saturday morning so far?
Yes, I was inspired by the Olympians to go to the gym. So,
good man. There was some good events in Canada doing very well today. First question, Jason, do you think the Oilers are done, or maybe the CBA cap situation, or maybe some free agents left to sign, and then everything will dovetail and the tumblers will click and Edmonton might make a move here late summer?
I think if they make a move, it'd be kind of a surprising one at this point. You know, they could add another veteran defenseman, but then you've got nine guys on one-way contracts, right? I know Justin Schultz is technically on a two-way, but I don't see any chance he's not going to be here. So, you know, you don't have that many guys in the system. You know, I know everybody's concerned about depth, but the reality is, you know, there's no teams that are consistently carrying nine one-way contract defensemen. So I think the Oilers, the only way I see them making a move would be a trade. And, you know, it's hard to predict trades. You know, a lot of people are saying, well, move somebody to get a top four defenseman. The only guys they have that are legit opportunities that they consider dealing that would get you a top four, I think, is Alshamsky. Anything else like that, you know, everybody's throwing out offers of, you know, Sam Gagne plus something else. You know, I don't think Sam Gagne might get you a number four at best. He's definitely not getting you a top two or a number three defenseman. And, you know, Magnus Piarvi, you know, the Linus Omark, please. You know, those guys are not in the situation right now where you're getting a legit defenseman.
Someone like Ryan Whitney's health and training over the summer, we don't have the inside information on that. But if the Oilers are feeling like this is a guy who is tracking well and will be coming in much healthier, you and I have talked about this over the last few months. If they feel like he's a guy who's capable of playing those big minutes again, then maybe the pressure to acquire a top four defenseman isn't as great as might have been perceived.
No, not at all. And, you know, I talked to Whitney last week. I'm going to have him on my show coming up this week. But he's back power skating for the first time in two summers and says he feels great. You know, he said last year his foot speed wasn't there because his leg strength wasn't there because he hadn't power skated in the summer. So, you know, obviously that if he's healthy, then there's I don't think there's anyone debates that he's not a top two defenseman. So, you know, and that would be huge. And then if he's healthy all year, you know, Ladislav Schmid, you have Nick Schultz, who's a veteran and knows exactly what he's doing. You know, then you'd have either Petrie or Justin Schultz, and, you know, probably Petrie at this point would have a step up on him as guys that, you know, you could potentially look. If Jeff Petrie can play like he did in the final 30 games of the year last year, well, then he is, I think, a guy who you can rely upon as a top four defenseman. But it's a lot easier said than done. We've seen a lot of times and a lot of teams have guys who make a great half season but don't find a way to find that consistency until later on, right? Like, look at Ladislav Schmid, for instance, and how long it took him to find consistency. You know, and last year he was easily the Oilers' best defenseman. So, you know, it does take some time, unfortunately, at that position. And I know Oilers fans are sick of losing, and I'm sure the players are, but, you know, I still think this team has a lot of growing pains to do. I think, you know, they might have a really 1 year where they grossly overachieve, and we see teams do that, but I still think this team is legitimately 3 years away from being a true contender.
Someone like Corey Potter, who played so well early and then was injured and struggled a little bit in the back half of the season, injury's a factor there as well. And you talked to Taylor Fadun this week, and there's a guy who, you know, maybe not at the NHL level this year, Jason, but he's a guy who's in the mix too as well, correct?
Yeah, he's down the list depth-wise. You know, his hockey sense is his biggest attribute. Very, very, very smart on the ice. Every coach that I've ever talked to that's had him says, you know, Fadun's he's very competitive and he sees the ice incredibly well. But, you know, he's a guy who's down the road. You know, Corey Potter, at the time I wasn't a huge fan of that signing anyway. You know, he's a player who had essentially 27 years of age. Now he'd had a half season in the NHL and you're giving him a two-year contract. I didn't really understand it, even though I know it was cheap for NHL money, but Corey Potter, I'm not sure if he's a guy, honestly, you know, who I see as, because when I look at depth and when I look at certain attributes you need on your blue line, you can't have Petrie, Schultz, and Potter as your three right defensemen. You have nobody there who's a legit penalty killer and nobody who's remotely physical, and I just don't think you can have that. The Oilers can't get into a situation on the blue line that they have up front where you have a lot of the same type of, the Oilers have exceptional amount of skill up front, but, none of it has size. They need a right-handed Ladislav Smead is what they need.
So somebody like Justin Schultz coming in may block Corey Potter a little bit on this roster.
Oh, well, without a doubt, Al. Like Corey Potter, you look at his points and how many of them came in the power play last year. Justin Schultz is a better power play player, has a better shot than Corey Potter. I don't see any chance that, to me, Corey Potter is not a guy that I have locked in. I would take Andy Sutton or Theo Pekham ahead of Potter because, and Theo Peckham's the one guy, and I've said it, some people, 2 years ago, Pekham was great. He had a bad year last year coming off that concussion and everything like that. He probably wasn't in the shape he needed to be in, and he's working out one-on-one with Norm Lacombe this year, is in better shape, and Pekham knows his role. He's going to be, a third-pairing defenseman, and he's going to be one of your top penalty killers, probably maybe number three, and that's what you need. You need guys to fit roles. With Corey Potter now, when you have Schultz and Petrie and Whitney, you don't need Corey Potter. He's not better than them in the offensive role.
When you talked to Ralph Krueger, and Ralph Krueger was doing interviews post hiring as head coach, he talked about pairings up front, as in, say, Nugent, Eberle, Gagné, Hemsky, and then Taylor Hall, Ryan Smith, and all of those guys rolling as lines would be. But it was very specific about putting pairings together, and maybe Yakupov even on the left side. Jason, when we talk about this team right now, are we really in the period where we're seeing the transition from somebody like Sean Horkoff or Ryan Smith playing those big, big minutes and Eberle and Yakupov and Hall maybe being spotted a little more? Is this the year where we're going to see those young players really move up in terms of time on ice and take on the bigger minutes?
Well, I definitely think you'll see what we saw down the stretch with Jordan Eberle, where he's playing about 19 minutes a night, and I think that's what you'll see. There's no chance that Ryan Smith's playing 20 minutes a night for the first 20 games of the season. I don't see any possible way. What's going to have to happen is, and see, there's another element. When you look at all the older skilled forwards outside of Jordan Eberle, which one of them can kill penalties? Right, and that's where, I'm not a big advocate of having your star guys kill penalties. I look down the list, you don't produce a lot of points. It's harder minutes on you. They're not as fresh 5-on-5. There's a lot of reasons why you don't have to have your best players killing penalties. Certain guys do. Ilya Kovalchuk does it, but Ilya Kovalchuk's 6'3" and 220 pounds. His body can handle it. He's a freak. He's rather different than most guys. But Nugent Hopkins, Yakupov, Hall. Are any of those guys penalty killers? Probably not. So, it's hard to extend that many more minutes to guys if they're never going to play a little bit of penalty killing. I'll be curious to see what Ralph Krueger does with guys like Alex Hemsky. Does he get the final 30 seconds on a penalty kill? I'm assuming Jordan Eberle is going to be one of their penalty killers. And because Horkoff, Ryan Smith, Ryan Jones, and Belanger are likely, your top four penalty killers, that third pairing, though, has to be some of your offensive guys, and that's where they're going to get some extra minutes.
One of the curious signings for me, anyway, early in the summer was Leonard Petrell, who had had a somewhat uneven season on the fourth line, but had killed penalties, I think, a minute seven per game. Is that possibly a reason why he was signed to maybe improve the depth there on the penalty kill?
Oh, for sure, Al. And the other thing I liked about Petrell, in Edmonton for a long time, because, a lot of fans have never seen legitimate top six forwards for the last decade, legitimate, consistent ones. Now they've seen them in Eberle and Hall and Nugent Hopkins. And when you have those guys producing, all of a sudden your fourth line, no one cares. No one's talking about, geez, Leonard Petrell only had 5 goals. No one really cares, right? You look at the team's fourth lines, you need a guy with some size. Petrell dropped the gloves twice last year. He was physical. He blocked a lot of shots. He did what he had to do as a fourth line guy. And I think he understood his role. He's an exceptional shot blocker. And so he can be, he could be another guy that you would use on your penalty kill. Maybe not in your top two units, but when an injury occurs, then you have a guy that you can slide in who's going to do the job. And Petrell was a player who I thought did exactly what they wanted from him last season. I don't expect a lot from your fourth line. You don't want him to get scored on. You want him to have a little bit of energy. Petrell was a good forechecker, and he's very smart in his own zone. right? And the one thing I felt from Petrell was usually most nights you got an honest effort from him, right? He didn't take stupid penalties. He didn't seem to float through many games. And I think Ralph Krueger, he needs as limited amount of wild cards this season for him to be successful, right? Guys who, when you know going in, okay, this is what Lena Petrell is going to give us tonight. He's going to give us 6 or 7 minutes. He'll maybe kill off a minute and a half of that and penalty kill. He'll block some shots and he won't get scored on. And we know that's what he's going to do. And you know, he's got a heavy shot, actually. And, you know, I think he's somebody who, you know, if guys are faltering, now that Petrell's his second year in the league, maybe he moves up and gets a little bit more ice time in certain situations because he has the one thing that very few forwards on the Oilers have, size. And that's, I think, the big reason why. You know, people were talking about different guys in the fourth line. I'm like, Lena Petrell is 6'2", kills penalties. They need some size, and they need some size in their top six. Unfortunately, they just don't have any right now.
In conversation with Jason Greger from the Jason Greger Show right here on Team 1260 and, of course, Oilers Nation. Last week I asked Jeff Grischel on this show basically about the players starting to feel some pressure in terms of the CBA negotiations. And he said from his point of view, from what he was experiencing talking to these NHL players that he deals with, it was a distant bell. They were still in training. They were still on course in terms of what they need to do in preparation. And it was something that was out there, but it really didn't have a lot of impact on them day to day. Is that your experience in talking to these guys as well?
Yeah, you know what, Al? It is their livelihood, but it's not something. The players are more involved this year than they were the last time around, right? You had the 31 guys who were on that committee, so there is more players involved because there's more of them that have been through it, right? It's only 6 years ago, but you still look in the orders. How many of the order players were in the NHL the last lockout? Half their team wasn't,
yeah.
Right? So that's where I think they think about it, but they still don't really. It's like most of us in real life, right? We don't donate to the Stollery until one of our kids is at the Stollery, and then, oh my God, what a wonderful place, and then we donate all the time afterwards. And
very
I think
true.
With these players, they see it, they read about it, but they haven't really experienced it because they're probably like most of the fans. Oh, it'll get solved. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to keep working out. I'm going to stay focused on making sure I'm at the gym. I'm hitting all my workouts. And come September 15th, until they tell me not to, I'm expecting that I'll be on a flight to Edmonton. And most players, that's how they focus. They don't fret about the what ifs.
One thing that could be a little different for, and you mentioned it, for Oiler fans this time around, someone like Jordan Eberle or Taylor Hall, certainly Jeff Petrie, they would be eligible to play in Oklahoma City or, you know, obviously go to Europe depending upon how it works out. That might be a huge change from what we saw last time in an Oilers when the Oilers were locked out last time.
Yeah, well, they had Stoll and Torres, right, that went the last time. And so you would have younger ones. Now, Jeff Petrie, Al, I don't think actually would be eligible based on I don't think he's waiver eligible in his age. So I don't think he'd be a guy that could go. But, you know, the PRVs, the Landers, Hall, Eberle, Nugent Hopkins. Now, they did waive it last time. So I think he might even be eligible. So, yeah, the Oilers would definitely have, Justin Schultz, they would have a long list. And if you're the Oilers, you'd want your young guys playing. And the biggest benefactors could be the OKC fans. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
They could have a freaking all-star team of AHLers if there's a lockout early on and the Oilers send a lot of their young guns down there. But I've heard varying reports from some who think, well, geez, the players who have played 2 years in the NHL might not want to go there, right? Mm-hmm. So that's it's going to be interesting who, you know, like Eric Staal went down. Right?
Yep.
And so, hey, if he can do it, why can't these guys do it? I think ultimately they'll want to play, so we'll see what happens. But every player I've talked to right now, when I brought it up to them, the guys who would be eligible, their reaction is like, well, that's not going to happen. We're going to play in the NHL. So I think they're still thinking NHL at this point.
What have you got coming up on the show next week and on Oilers Nation, Jason?
I will talk with Whitney on Tuesday's program, and we'll unveil the big winners for Specs Deck. Also, Jason Chimera from the Washington Capitals is going to join me in studio. Had a breakout year for him last year. We'll hear about some stories from Alex Ovechkin, Alexander Semin, and many other things this week.
Enjoy your long weekend, and thanks, buddy.
Hey, you too, Al.
All right. Jason Greger from the Jason Greger Show here on Team 1260 and, of course, from Oilers Nation as well. That Fadoon interview, you want to check it out. You know what? This is a guy who wants it. And I think at the end of the article, Jason said, you know, looking him in the eyes, you can tell this is a guy got a lot of desire and really wants to make it to that next level. And because of the injury and because when it happened, you know, he's sort of a distant item for Oiler fans. We saw him, we were impressed, but it's a long time. You forget, didn't play at the NHL level because of the injury. So early on at that developmental camp, there was some word like, you know, he's isn't really caught up. By the end of it, he'd caught up. And he's a guy who really wants it. So not this year, and I certainly not at the beginning of the year, but Taylor Fadun is a name to keep in mind. Our thanks to Jason Greger. Now, 1219, this is Nation Radio. We're going to take a break. On the way, Eric Tulski, we had him on a couple of weeks ago. Big brain. Really, really get your slide rule and your ciphering tools out. This is a guy who knows his stuff. Eric Tulski from Broad Street Hockey and NHL Numbers on the way next. This is Nation Radio brought to you by Edmonton Motors.